The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. Today, let's start with our memory magazine, The Complete Guide to Memory by Centennial Health. And as I promised last time, we've finally gotten to the part about how to help with. So boost it. These are the next tips coming up. First of all, what's your memory style? To discover just how you remember best, take our quiz, then follow our strategies for shoring up your weak spots. Some people have a knack for remembering facts and figures, spatial relationships, and motor skills. Others tend to recall social relationships between others best. An uncanny memory for faces has been traced to the brain's fusiform gyrus. So, it's easy to feel frustrated when you're having trouble remembering something that is important in the moment. Whether it's the name of someone you've just bumped into, the items you came to the market to get, or the speech you're preparing for an important work presentation. Exasperated, you might tell yourself, "My memory is hopeless." But cognitive science has good news for you. Memory is distributed across your brain, with specialized neural networks handling different types of information. Chances are, even if you are poor at remembering certain kinds of things, like where you left your keys, there are probably other kinds of information that you're much better at remembering. With training and practice, you can learn to leverage your memory strengths to overcome your weaknesses. For example, we all have a network in our brain called the fusiform face area, specialized for recognizing human faces. People differ in how well-developed this network is. Some find it easy to recognize others by their faces, but up to 2% of the population finds it all but impossible to do so, while most of us fall somewhere in between. Fortunately, our brains are surprisingly nimble, so that even those who cannot recognize facial features at all, a condition called prosopagnosia, or face blindness, generally function just fine by using alternate neural networks to recognize people by other distinctive features, such as their voice, posture, or characteristic way of moving. The same holds true for other specialized neural networks. People with a skill called hyperphantasia can easily recreate images in their mind's eye that exactly reproduce what they have seen in vivid detail. Those who possess this skill can find it quite useful. Yet, those in the 3% of the population who experience the opposite, aphantasia, or the complete inability to imagine pictures in their minds, can also function quite effectively in life by storing visual information in other ways, often using their language centers to remember a description of a scene rather than the scene itself. Those of us between these two extremes tend to call up vague mental images and fill in the details using other neural networks. If you don't have a particular talent for visual imagery or remembering faces, how about your other senses? Perhaps you find it easy to replay songs or conversations in your mind. Perhaps you can remember the smell or taste of your favorite dish so vividly that your mouth is watering even now as you think of it. The goal of this exercise is to help you identify your personal memory strengths so that you can learn to use them to improve your memory in weaker areas. The list on the next page includes different types of information you might need or be called on to remember in an average day. Start by reading the list over and deciding which types of information are personally the easiest for you to remember. Then you'll circle the number 5 to indicate their high ranking. Next, circle 1 for the type of information that are the most challenging for you to recall. Finally, circle a number 2 to 4 for each remaining item to indicate an immediate level of ease or difficulty. Optional, if you would like to rate any additional memory strengths or weaknesses, write them down on the extra lines provided at the bottom of the list. So this list is the numbers 1 through 5 next to each of these personal memory strengths and weaknesses. And it's titled Rate Your Recall, whether your memory is powered by the rush of a scent or the driving power of live events, you can tap your strengths. So I'm going to read the personal memory strengths and weaknesses for you, and you can rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being foggy or hard to do, and 5 being easy or vivid, and of course there's anywhere in between. So let's look at images. Recalling vivid visual details of things I have seen in my mind's eye. Sounds. Replaying conversations, songs, or other things I hear in my mind. Smells. Recalling entire events from a familiar smell. Tastes. Remembering the exact experience of a meal or a beverage. How to get to places. Spatial relationships. How to do things, hands-on activities. Recognizing people's faces. Remembering people's names. Recognizing people by their voices. Recognizing people by their facial expressions, posture, or ways of moving. Facts and trivia, general knowledge. Tasks I'm planning to do, such as errands, odd jobs, and appointments. Lists, numbers, numerical information, vocabulary and the meanings of words, spellings of words, things I have read, stories or jokes I have heard, details of my personal experiences, other people's relationships and experiences, and then you can add however many of your own that are not included in this list. And then it tells us a to-do list will be most effective if devoted to just a single concept or task. When you're especially harried or stressed, or if you have many items to remember, the simple act of making a list may help you make sure nothing is left out. So that's our information for today. Next time, we'll look at learning to compensate. Now, from AARP, the Bulletin, we're going to continue with the new truth about aging. And we are at part 3, the pursuit of happiness. Meet the happy realists. It shouldn't come as a surprise that older adults in the survey make up the happiest age group. The U-curve model that depicts happiness has been widely reported. It starts high when we're young, hits a low in our late 40s, and then begins a steady climb back up. Interestingly, though, when people 85 plus were asked to say what they considered the best decade of their lives, they most frequently cited their 50s. But the study also shows that optimism is lowest for those in their 60s and 80s. One way to look at that is lack of optimism equates to fulfillment. "I don't look forward to anything new," says study participant Ruth. "I love to watch the birds. I love to swim. I love to play ping pong. It's just more of what I already love." Respondents in their 40s and 50s reported lower happiness scores, but higher optimism scores. So, how optimistic are you about your own future? From the 18 to 39 age group, 57%, the 40s, 51%, the 50s, 48%, the 60s, 44%, the 70s, 51%, and the 80s, 46%. The power of simple goals. About 2 out of 3 of the oldest adults, age 80 and older, say they're living their best possible life, or close to it, compared with just 1 in 5 younger adults. What's driving this remarkable shift? Psychologically, people notice and prioritize the positive and let the negative go as they age, says Louise Aronson, MD, professor of geriatrics at the University of California, San Francisco, and author of Elderhood, Redefining Aging, Transforming Medicine, Reimagining Life. It's the ticking clock theory. We all have to die. As you get closer, you think, hey, what really matters? When you're young, you may think, I'm going to suffer now because it'll be worth it later. But later you realize none of that made me as happy as being with my family or taking long walks every day. As Richard, who is a retired financial planner, puts it, I did what I did to make a living, and I enjoyed it. But once I walked away, I honestly didn't miss it for 10 minutes. That's not my identity. That's not who I am. My wife and I are heavily involved in our church. We've done mission trips to Cambodia, to Rwanda, and to Australia, to China, to help dig wells and build homes, and those kinds of things. I consider that to be who we are. A connection. Is optimism a lifestyle? Another interesting finding on optimism. Those with an optimistic outlook were twice as likely to be engaged in healthy behaviors as those with a pessimistic attitude. My research shows that positive beliefs about aging can act as a buffer against stress, bolster your sense of control over your life, and even your will to live, and motivate good habits, says Becca Levy, professor of epidemiology at the Yale School of Public Health. And let's look at part five, relationships. Friends are great, but family comes first. At every age, family members contribute more to a person's sense of joy and sense of purpose than friends do. Family is the people you can rely on, the people who see you and accept you, Aronson says. But she also points out that family can take on a broader definition for many people. If you're among the growing group of single older adults, or if you find yourself low on close family, think about turning friends into your chosen family. For younger adults, she adds, now is the moment to make connections with people who can see you through the coming decades. A myth is we just naturally grew apart. There's a steady linear increase in how we rate our close relationships over time. By age 80, 85% describe their human connections as excellent or very good, up from 56% before age 40. And most say they have been at the same level for the past 5 years. I have been with people who are dying, Aronson said, and that's what matters in the end. Now, we're still in AARP, the bulletin, and let's look at Medicare Made Easy. This is by Dina Bunis. I'm about to join Medicare. I've been a smoker and have diabetes. Will either of these affect my premium? No. One of Medicare's rules is that health status cannot affect premiums. So, assuming you are of moderate income, you'll pay the standard Part B monthly premium, which for 2022 is $170.10. The same holds true for Medicare Advantage, MA, and Part D, prescription drug plans. They cannot charge you more due to pre-existing conditions or lifestyle choices. But the answer is a little trickier for supplemental, Medigap policies. If you buy a policy during your six-month Medigap open enrollment period, you cannot be denied coverage or charged more because of your pre-existing conditions. But if you miss that window, depending upon your state, an insurance company can charge you more or refuse to sell you a policy because of your health status. The six-month sign-up window for Medigap policies generally starts the month you turn 65, but if you are insured through you or your spouse's employer, the enrollment period begins when you leave your company's coverage and sign up for Medicare Part B. Next question. I know Medicare will pay for things like a walker, hospital bed, or oxygen gear. Is there gear they won't pay for? Yes. But figuring it all out gets complicated. It mostly comes down to whether they consider the gear medically essential or just a convenience. For example, Medicare will pay for a motorized scooter if that's the only way you can get around your house, but won't pay if it's mostly for longer outdoor excursions. One caveat, some Medicare Advantage plans do cover certain home improvement items like wheelchair ramps. Check with a benefits coordinator to find out what your plan covers. Medicare also doesn't cover some disposables like incontinence pads or catheters. But again, there are exceptions if it's needed as part of Medicare-covered home health care. To find out if an item is covered, call the Medicare hotline, 800-633-4227. Again, 800-633-4227. Or you can go to Medicare.gov or contact your state health insurance assistance program, which you can find at shiphealth.org. That's shiphelp.org. Now, on to AARP, the magazine, Upfront Live. Here's a few short items here. You'll always be my baby. How to cope when old family dynamics disrupt holiday visits. When everyone packs into grandma's house for the holidays, no matter their age, family members often fall or get dragged into their old childhood roles. Even adults who now have kids of their own and successful careers can be made to feel like children again. And that can create conflicts. Here's how to survive your holiday get-together, according to family therapists. Tips for adult children. Set boundaries. Before getting together, tell parents, siblings, or other attendees of any off-limit topics, such as politics or stories from your childhood. Prepare for the weird. Visualize how you wish to react if treated inappropriately. Is it best to respond with humor, with sternness, or by doing a breathing exercise? Designate a support person. Arrange to have a friend available to talk by phone when you need a break from your family, says Mudita Rastogi, a clinical professor and licensed marriage and family therapist. Now, tips for parents. Discuss ahead of time. Before the kids and their families come home for the holidays, talk to each of them about what they're hoping to get out of the visit and their preferences around the agenda. Don't keep them down. People grow and change, even your own babies. Keep an open mind and get to know them as adults, rather than focusing on who they were as children. Schedule time apart. Group activities are a recipe for conflict. Arrange to meet one-on-one with family members to create space for a quiet time. Now we have another article. Are you misreading your pet? Learn the secrets behind their signals. Dog barking. What you think it means. Someone is invading my space. What else it can mean? Barking can be, oh, I'm so excited to see you, says animal behaviorist Jill Goldman. But it also can mean, keep your distance. I'm very territorial. Don't come any closer. Cat rolling. What do you think it means? Rub my belly. What it really means? Well, not that. Most cats do not love belly rubs, says female behaviorist Marcy Koski. That's where the Venus cat trap comes into play. You put your hand on the belly and then, woo, there go the claws. Dog smiling. What do you think it means? All is well. What it really means? Tension in the mouth is a sign of stress, says trainer Courtney Chase. And finally, cat rubbing. What do you think it means? I like you. What else it can mean? It's also a way to leave their scent behind. That deposits facial pheromones that are used in marking territory. Now let's look at your home office. Hybrid work is common. Tips for long-term workspace. Upgrade your location. Survey your home anew and reconsider your office spot. Do you need a formal dining or living room anymore? Gear up. Laptop stands, cell phone stands, and ergonomic footrests are innovations that can boost productivity. Consider your virtual space. Many video conferencing systems let you make a virtual background. Use a simple landscape photo. Work-life balanced. Many couples now work from home at the same time, so savor the interactions. Now let's look at a few more ways to beat the odds. Odds of falling in love on a given day, 1 in 562. Now's a great time to find love. The U.S. has more single people than at any point in its history, says social scientist Tai Toshiro, author of The Science of Happily Ever After. Roughly 27% of those over 60 in America live alone, according to the Pew Research Center. Beat the odds. Look for similarities. Shared values and interests are what typically spark love, Toshiro says. As for a hot bod or a fat bank account, they're bonuses, but not the basis of the romance. Start swiping right. The top factor for finding love is proximity to other singles. If you don't live near many that match your interests, you can access more singles by joining a dating app. The most popular for those 65 and older is eHarmony. And hide your earbuds at the gym. Talking to other people in the gym increases your chances of falling in love by 15%. The odds of getting hurt in a fall are 37 in 100. Unlike kids who pop right up after a tumble, some 37% of people 65 and older report that a fall led to an injury that either required medical treatment or restricted activity for at least a day. That's worrying, given that 1 in 4 of us will fall in any given year. Beat the odds. Start with the tried and true. The classic advice for strong bones and avoiding falls is all sound. Get adequate vitamin D and calcium. Improve your balance with yoga or Tai Chi. Get rid of slippery throw rugs and clear out full floor clutter. Check your medicines. Sleep medications, antihistamines, and antidepressants may make you drowsy, dizzy, or off balance. Review anything you're taking, supplements included, with your doctor and inquire about potential side effects. Check your eyes and ears. Vision changes can contribute to fall risk, says Robert Lehman, former president of the American Optometry Association. Aim for annual eye exams. As for hearing, even mild loss can increase your risk of a fall. Stand up slowly. Standing up too fast can lead to a steep drop in blood pressure, affecting 30% of older adults. Sit up and stand up slowly so you don't get lightheaded. Now, odds of getting cancer if you are 70 plus are 2,135 in 100,000. Roughly 1.9 million people will be diagnosed with cancer in 2022, and 42% of those cases could have been avoided through lifestyle changes, according to the American Cancer Society. You know to limit daily alcohol intake, eat veggies and less red meat, and not to smoke, but here are other ways to lower your risks. Beat the odds. Filter your water. A 2019 study linked contaminants in tap water to more than 100,000 cancers over 7 years. Use water filters and learn more about your local water quality at epa.gov/CCR. Cultivate happiness. Research suggests that the psychological and social aspects of aging, that is, issues like loneliness and stress, can influence your biology, including how cells age and become susceptible to cancer. The takeaway, stay connected and manage chronic stress, could help prevent cancer. And check your indoor air quality. Smoking is the number one risk factor for getting lung cancer, but radon exposure is right behind. buy a radon detector, and if levels are high, hire a certified professional through the National Radon Safety Board, NRSB.org, to eradicate that gas. Now, in our remaining time, let's look at a few quotes from AARP The Bulletin. People are going to get tired of you. They've already got two or three of your albums. How many albums do I need by Blake Shelton? And that was by Blake Shelton, 45. From Helen Mirren, 76, the downside of fame is having to read about yourself. From Ann Tyler, who's 80, the novelist. I wouldn't want to be younger for $1 million. There are problems with age, but we're wiser and more accepting, you know? It's falling into place how the world works. From Zoe Kravitz, 33, daughter of rock star Lenny Kravitz and actress Lisa Bonet. We used to joke that my version of rebellion would be like to become a lawyer or something. From Judd Apatow, 54. I used to think, oh, these are coming-of-age movies, but I think people are still coming of age at 80 and 90. From Julia Quinn, 52, people often say that romance novels give women unrealistic expectations. Give readers a little credit. We're not expecting all men to be dukes or billionaires or have eight packs. From Lisa Guerrero, 58, I used to say I'm a size 4, and now I'm a size 8 because I've had to develop a thick skin. From Dick Vitale, 83, I was sobbing when I got my voice back. I love talking with people more than anything in life. And he was a sportscaster who recovered from vocal cord surgery. Now, a tip on saving money under car costs. Choose a different tire. New tires can actually lower gas mileage because more rubber literally meets the road. If getting better gas mileage is important to you, consider shopping for what the industry calls low rolling resistance tires, which are manufactured to lessen the friction of the tire against the road. Some estimates suggest they can improve fuel efficiency by 4 to 11%. Be sure to check their safety ratings for snow and rain, but their reputations are generally good. Well, folks, I've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.